This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome back to iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
Been a while since we've been on the air.
Just a little bit.
We've been kind of busy.
Caribbean cruise.
Then we woke up.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Well, Jody got sick.
Yeah, a little pneumonia.
Just a little pneumonia.
Just a pinch.
Just to keep things fresh.
A pinch. Yeah. Kind of keep my, day just a little bit upbeat, interesting. Yeah. Change it up a little bit.
I figure if you have to cough really hard, you can get a lot of junk out of there. Pollutants.
Exfoliation.
Yeah, it's kind of like exfoliating for the lungs. It's when the stuff doesn't come out, you got to worry.
Yeah, that's what I was feeling like.
Well, there's been a lot of things that could raise blood pressures lately.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people getting sick, fighting colds and flus.
Doing a podcast.
Trying to get a podcast back on. Launching a new website.
A few things.
Yeah, just a few things. Been busy.
Yeah.
Busy, busy, busy.
Why not?
So I thought...
But we've missed you, people.
Yeah, we have. Mm-hmm. We've missed injecting you with the normal dose of absolute nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to do it, though.
Nonsense. So, yeah.
How else will our public be informed of the nonsense that goes on?
Right.
Well, I like to refer to it as no sense.
Yeah, well, I've got a lot of that.
Yeah.
It's about all, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to cover a couple topics. A couple few.
Okay.
And I thought we'd start off by the thing that was on my mind this morning. Blood pressure.
Yeah. Just because it was only, off the charts. But
what did we do to raise your blood pressure?
Came into work.
Active game of foosball. Launching a website.
It was the maniac way in which the foosball game took place.
It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Organized chaos.
It was good.
Yeah, it was very
chaotic.
Good. Yeah. So we came in here, and Jody did the honors of giving me a blood pressure check, and it came out pretty well.
Yeah.
Systolic was a touch higher than normal, but we had just finished the game.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and you lost.
And we did not lose.
Well,
second game.
Second game.
You're right.
Yeah.
But my diastolic was good.
Yeah. The winning number. I mean,
the winning. Exactly. Those lower number represent your win. So, anyway.
A right sizing.
But it was a good reminder to me that that we probably got a lot of people, a lot of healthcare professionals, we take blood pressures all the time. Mm-hmm. But we don't always get our blood pressure taken. And we could be having borderline hypertension, if not full-blown hypertension, in a regular part of our life, having the side effects, the degenerating side effects of hypertension, and never even know it.
Yep.
So we thought we'd just cover some of the things about blood pressures, like normal blood pressures versus abnormal. So, do you guys know what your blood pressure is right now?
No.
Not right at the very second, but in general, I run a touch borderline. I don't have high blood pressure, but I usually when I check it, I'm somewhere around 145 over around 85, which it's not awful. But it's right on the edge where I got to keep an eye on it.
Sure. What about you, Dan?
No idea. Don't even know what the numbers mean.
Wow.
Looks like you're going to Walgreens at lunch.
That's why I pay a doctor. I just watch his eyes.
Yeah.
If his eyes pop out, we got issues.
All right. Then your blood pressure goes up good. A little more.
Yeah, exactly.
You drink a fair amount of caffeine. We all do.
Yeah.
Do you think you ever feel like you have high blood pressure?
No.
I have.
Is it running your family?
No, not that I know of.
He's a genetic specimen.
Yes, he's just kind of an easygoing guy.
He is kind of an easygoing guy.
Kind of
104.
Yeah. What?
That's when my grandma died.
Oh,
whoa.
I was going to say, 104. That can't be blood pressure. No.
Well, it could be.
Well, good.
Well, but here's the bad thing.
Diastolic or systolic?
She outlived 8 of her kids.
Wow. Whoa.
So what is
really?
That? Yeah.
Oh, my.
So I think it's safe to say the gene pool ended.
Hopefully it's every other.
You're hoping it skips a generation. Maybe so. Do you have traits of your grandmother?
I'm cranky.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
That's half the battle.
I like windmill cookies.
Well, there you go.
All right.
So anyways, the normal range is a little relative because, quite frankly, if you're an athlete, and an athlete, you know, has taken on a whole new meaning. I've kind of cranked up my workout lately, and I don't think I was working out very well before. Because I'm really working out now. It hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you asked me for a little vitamin I the other day.
Yeah, I need a little ibuprofen. I got a little pre-treatment going on. But anyways, if you're working out as an athlete would, or a child, low normal diastolic. You ready? That's the second number, the under number. So like say 110 over 70, right, is a blood pressure. Diastolic would be the 70. So here you've got 60 is the lowest level of a child or an athlete's lower diastolic number. Their upper systolic number could be between 90 and 100 and be normal. Can you imagine?
Jody's at a buck and a half.
Yeah, 90 over 60? Can you imagine having a blood pressure like that?
Yeah.
No,
I 145.
Yeah, I usually run between 140 and 145, which is it's just a little bit high, but it's not.
He's borderline.
I'm borderline. I just got.
He's
watch
just
it.
A touch above borderline.
All right.
Because borderline is 140 systolic, 90 diastolic.
Right.
So he may bump up above that and below it at different times. And a high normal is between 130 and 140 systolic and 85 or 90 diastolic. An evening blood pressure or before salty, fatty foods. Is there a before salty or fatty foods? When is it?
Well, salty or it's not.
When is it before?
breakfast, Americanized it.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, and...
threw it in the deep fryer.
So it should be like between 120 and 130 systolic over 80 to 85.
I'm going to lunch in 10 minutes. You guys are killing me.
Yeah, going to a greasy spoon. Yeah.
Where's the deep fried blood pressure?
Okay.
That's in the upper echelon. I'll get to that in a minute.
All right.
Now, is it bad that I told...
It's got the symptoms, too. We'll get to the deep fat fried symptoms in a second.
Weak, tired, dizzy, fainting, coma, and a large feeling of,
Okay, so here's the norm, though. The norm is like 120 over 70. It's 110 to 120 over 70 to 80.
If you're dead. No, I mean...
no, that's normal.
Yeah, you know, that's that normal is a very loaded normal.
It's an abnormal normal.
Yeah. Now, some people say, well, what if it's really low? You know, what if I've got like a 90 over 55? Well, we call that...
fluids.
we call that low blood pressure. And some of the symptoms could be weak, tired, dizzy, or fainting. Anything under 35 diastolic or 50 systolic, we call that coma.
And we call that majorly shock.
Yeah. So, all right. The deep fat fried is when you get to moderate stage 2 and above. You ready? Because moderate stage 2 is anywhere between 160 and 180 over 100 to 110 diastolic. Now, that is said to require treatment. Okay? That requires treatment, medications.
Right.
Or other things. Once you get to a severe stage 3, which is 180 to 210, over 110 to 130, now you are in stroke range. And very severe stage, which we are very concerned about stroke, is anywhere from 210 to 230 over 120 to 135.
Is it clotting at that point?
Stressed, red, bloated, sedentary, increased risk of cardiovascular disease, heart attack, kidney disease, stroke, and death.
Yeah. See, that's what you're worried about is clots. Or, you know, you're talking about a stroke and heart attack. Yeah. You get high blood pressure and it causes
Coumadin.
Yeah.
Well,
that's not to blow
just
the blood
that,
pressure,
but they're going to try to lower the blood pressure probably with all kinds of blockers and
there's lots of different ones out there.
Vasodilators and smooth muscle relaxants and all kinds of crazy stuff. So here we go. Ready? The no-no foods include high-salt foods.
La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la,
la, la, la, la, la, la, la,
there's some contradiction to that, though.
I'm going for the seasoned fries.
Listen, do you need anybody to go with you?
Since, drive me home.
Since when don't you bring us to these sales calls?
So, before I ordered the all-meat omelet this morning, I said, I should have gone for the fruit plate, but instead I'm going for the all-meat omelet.
Man, Dan. Did your grandmother eat like this?
She was a rotund woman.
Was she?
Yeah.
To 104?
104.
Yep. Happily.
Eat up, old man.
That's what I'm talking about.
It'll probably stress you out to not eat.
That's it.
You're reading over these numbers. Yeah. You're using words with that end in IC.
Ick.
Like diastolic.
Yeah.
Means nothing to me. Okay. My eyes are glazing over.
You know what? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I have no reference point.
Well, for the nurses, doctors, EMTs, you're going to know what we're talking about. But that's a good point, Dan. For those of you that might not know what we're talking about, systolic means when the heart is contracted. And it is the highest amount of blood pressure upon contraction of the heart muscle.
Okay.
That's the systolic.
Yeah.
Which is when sleeve is the tightest?
No.
No, when your heart's
Heart's the tightest.
I'm talking about when they're taking my blood pressure.
Right. Yeah.
The sleeves gets tight.
Okay, why do they take a number at the top and a number at the bottom?
We'll tell you that.
Okay. Yeah.
Systolic is the highest amount of blood pressure when your heart contracts. Diastolic is the lowest blood pressure when your heart is relaxed and at its resting phase before it contracts again. Yeah. Systolic, diastolic. You take the systolic and you read that by using a sphygmomanometer.
Good job.
Sphygmomanometer.
Easy for blood pressure cuff.
Blood pressure cuff. And a stethoscope and or ears. And you pump it up to usually around 120. If you can still hear the heart beating, you pump it up some more, 130, 140. You still hear the heart beating, you pump it up even more. You can go up to about 200. If you're still beating, you can hear it, then you've got to go a little higher than that. But the doggone thing only goes to like 300 or something like that, right? So that they're in a severe stage of hypertension. They're having a hypertensive crisis.
Okay.
But normally it's around 120, 130, okay? So let's just say we go up there and it disappears. You go a little bit above it till it disappears, and you slowly let the air out of the blood pressure cuff.
Yeah.
The first beat you hear represents the systolic blood pressure. So as I'm letting this down, this gauge is going down, I'm listening, I'm doing it slowly so that I catch every beat your heart beats.
Yeah.
Dum. Okay? And it was faint. Let's even say it was faint. But I heard a heartbeat. That's where I'm going to count your systolic number. So it was 122.
Right.
Now I hear it. As I'm letting the pressure out, and the last beat I hear is like 72. So you have 122 over 72.
Huh. Well, why do I want to know that?
Because a person who has a large amount of pressure, especially when the heart is at rest, is causing them to be at risk for heart attacks, kidney failure, because kidneys get their vascular circulation when the heart is at rest, not when it's under pressure. It's many different organs get their blood, their oxygenated blood, on the resting phase, on the lower blood pressures of the body, of the systolic-diastolic cycle. If the blood pressure is always up around systolic levels, you know, like a blood, you got a diastolic of 100, 110, that's the systolic of a lot of people. So what's happening is there's long-term problems.
Right,
yeah.
Kidney failure. The heart is constantly having to contract against high pressures, causing cardiomyopathy, which is a thickening of the heart wall.
Left ventricular hypertrophy is the big thing that you're worried about with long-term high blood pressure, because the left side of the heart is your left ventricle is what pumps to your extremities, to your arms and legs and everything. Constant high pressure, your heart builds big-time muscle because it has to pump so hard.
Yep.
Well, that's not good, because when it's like a big muscle bound beach guy, you know, you get that image in your mind, some big guy on the beach going, I'm Mr. Muscle Man. Well, he looks muscular, but he can't move very well, and he's not very agile. Well, that's what happens to your heart. Your heart can't fill, it can't stretch, it can't pump like it needs to after a while. Therefore, your heart starts to back up with blood.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You join the YMCA.
Yeah.
And they say, do you want an aerobic workout?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or a muscle building workout?
Right.
Those two different things, though.
Maybe. I understand that. But the aerobic workout is the one that you have to sustain your level of energy for a long period of time. And they say that it's good for your heart. To me, that's making your heart work hard.
It is, but it's a different kind.
It's your whole heart, your whole system.
And not only that, but you only work out for 30 minutes to an hour. You're not working out 24/7.
What if I don't work out at all?
Well, that's a whole other episode.
My heart is kept at a nice, comfortable level, and it's nice and stretchy.
Because then it fills up with lots of fatty stuff.
Well, one of the things, and what Jody's talking about is it's exactly right about the muscle boundness of the heart is different than a person who creates muscle hypertrophy of the biceps and triceps.
Okay.
Right? That's stronger muscle. But we have a few differences there. The skin stretches. Ligaments stretch. Right? The pericardial sac does not.
Okay.
It is not stretchy at all. It's very tough. It's there as a protectant to the heart. So the only place the muscle can go
is internal.
Is in. Mm-hmm. And when it goes in and gets thick,
thank you.
It makes the valves smaller.
Put it in Dan language.
Mm-hmm.
And so the valves, the actual sacs, right?
Yeah.
That hold the blood, when it contracts, becomes smaller and smaller, which means that your ejection value is going down. It means the less blood that is actually being circulated per contraction.
Got it. Thank you.
So it's very bad.
Then you get backup, and then you get what's called congestive heart failure.
Correct.
And then your lungs fill up with fluid. Your legs fill up with fluid, and it's not good. That's what happens in the long term, high blood pressure not being treated,
and a whole host of things. I mean, you know, blood veins aren't always supposed to be under pressure like that either. So you get aneurysm, high risk aneurysms for stroke, and you got all kinds of things. Yeah. So it's just not good, not good at all.
All right.
So there we go. So, anyways, the low, or and then it goes on to say saturated fats, hydrogenated oils, and partially hydrogenated vegetable oils. The yes foods would include high potassium, calcium, which is apples. Oh, one of my favorites. Avocado, bananas, broccoli, fish, grapes, oats, orange juice, and water. That's what I see you eating all the time. Or not.
Twinkies, hot dogs, ramen noodles. That's what... Burritos. That's Dan. What are you talking about?
I'd like an omelet in the morning.
Extra. We've done this after lunch.
No. We care. We care enough to tell you,
we
Dan.
We care. That's why we share.
We care. Therefore, we share.
Oh.
Now, here's some blood pressure lowering tactics. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Stop smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Reduce weight. Exercise. Low sodium foods. Low protein. Who wrote this?
Oh, it comes
now it gets personal.
Yeah, suddenly I disagree.
Chinese buffet.
No caffeine.
See?
Outside their minds.
Now remember, they're
talking. End it now.
They're talking about people that are up here, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
they're not talking about people that are
down right.
Here.
That's not me.
Well, you wouldn't know, mister, because you don't get your blood pressure taken.
I'm surrounded by you people, too.
I know.
We should take it.
We should have a little...
post-lunch.
Yeah. All right. And don't oversleep.
Yeah.
Get sufficient rest. Mild sedation.
So... the crystal meth that Agassi took really wasn't a bad thing. He was just doing it for mild sedation.
Oh, oh boy.
He won Wimbledon the next day.
Hey, Rowan, would you shoot me up? I'm feeling a little hyper.
Well, every time I see you guys come back from lunch, I see mild sedation.
Yeah, well,
so.
You know, we get a lot of that.
A little tryptophan action.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. And the vitamins that are important are at least 500 milligrams of vitamin C, 400 units of vitamin D, 200 milligrams vitamin E, B complex.
Yes, sir.
400 micrograms of folic acid and 100 milligrams of niacin. There's all these underlying reasons these people have high blood pressure. Number one, they don't want to change their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to start exercising. They're not going to start eating right. And so, but they still got to get their blood pressure taken care of. So the first thing we do is they throw drugs at it. And I think what happens is the physician sees that a person who's borderline, if they could get their life kind of back on a routine that would lower it naturally, they probably would take Jody's recommendation. It's borderline. It's not super serious. We need to take this all into consideration, and let's try naturally lowering it first.
And you need to monitor it outside the doctor's office.
Yeah, and monitor it That's outside the doctor's office. Because you could be anxious. You could be freaked out. You could be fighting an illness. There could be stress in your life. But that's, again, but that's all really connected, because we should be able to handle stresses in our life. We should be able to handle viruses, and illnesses without getting moderately to dangerously hypertensive. Mm-hmm. Our bodies should be able to adapt to that. So I think then what ends up happening is the docs look at that and say, okay, I got to get your blood pressure under control. You've got a whole lot of list of other issues going on, but I need to get your blood pressure in control. So here we go. We're going to give you some blockers, or we're going to give you something to lower that blood pressure and then deal with all the side effects of that. Same with cholesterol. And there are some people that they just can't get their cholesterol. I know a vegetarian that runs marathons. Mm-hmm. He's got bad cholesterol problems. It's hereditary. There's nothing he can do to get it down, so he has to take the cholesterol medication. Hates it, but he has to do it. But I think there's a lot of other people that probably wouldn't have to.
Yeah, I think that would be the norm.
But they're not going to change their lifestyle, so then they have to take a pill.
Well, a lot of people do. I see it in the commercials.
And TV never lies to you.
Ever.
TV is good for you.
So enough about that.
Commercials are right.
Moving right along. So we thought we'd close this up today with a little update on the flu. Did you guys hear about this? Yeah, doesn't affect Jody. It's not hit our office.
He's been such a wimp this year.
I have. What is up with that?
Well, you got to cut him some slack.
All right.
Anyways, I think it's boiled down to this. We've come full circle, and we still have just as many unanswered questions about H1N1 and how to treat it and how to prevent it as we did a couple months ago when this was first breaking.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah, we've not made any progress whatsoever.
No. Well, and here's my sense of it. Get a call from my daughter at college.
Mm-hmm.
She's got bad flu. Yeah. You can hear it.
Yeah.
She's feeling like crud. Goes in. They claim it's swine flu.
Yeah.
Diagnosis or treatment? Go home and take NyQuil and rest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they told her.
What else is
that? That was in the room.
Yeah.
But, are we trying to pad our stats to prove that we have this epidemic going on?
Yeah.
Well, it's a head cold.
Well, here's another same thing. I was talking to someone the other day about being tested for swine flu. They were tested. They do the nasal swab.
Did they ask you about it when you went in?
Not a drop.
You're kidding.
Nope. No, because they stopped it. They stopped testing back in July.
Yeah. So they were going to, well, they had one, somebody just got tested a week ago at the doctor's office. They tested and said, oh, it's a strain B, so we're going to call that swine flu.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. Strain B? That's not swine flu.
Possible or probable.
That's it. It's just because it's a strain of flu.
Yeah.
So they're not even testing for H1N1. They're testing whether it's A or B. Well, that strain is not necessarily H1N1, so I think the numbers are hugely inflated.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the test isn't even truly testing H1N1.
Yeah.
The actual true test for an H1N1, from what I understand, is a little bit expensive. If you're going to actually go down to that
level. It is expensive.
To determine the actual H1N1.
Oh, so these clinics are not predisposed to testing everybody that walks through.
They're testing either strain A or B.
Yeah, CBS did a special report not too long ago, and they went back to the states and said, okay, let's go back and find out how many people that got termed probable or possible H1N1 after the government said, okay, no more individual tests. We've had enough people come up positive. We're going to call this a pandemic. There's no reason to test for it. We know it's going to spread. So anybody that gets the symptoms, you just call it H1N1, basically.
Oh.
When they went back to test those people, they came back negative for H1N1. In fact, a large majority of them came back negative for the flu at all. It was a bad cold.
Thank you.
Yeah. And even if you do get the actual H1N1 virus, like you said, what's the treatment? Well, unless it's turned respiratory, and that's what the fear is. The fear is that it turns respiratory, and it turns into pneumonia, and it turns into a viral pneumonia that's very difficult to cure, and yeah. that's what people die yeah. from. They die from that viral pneumonia. They don't necessarily die from the head cold and what we normally term as flu. They yeah. die from it going into a pneumonia or something else. So, what's the cure anyhow? Well, normal, standard flu cure.
Flu care.
That's it.
Watch for the respiratory difficulty, congestion, fevers to stay a problem greater mm-hmm. than 5 to 7 days, mm-hmm. in some cases 10. And if that persists and the breathing becomes more labored, it's probably moving from viral to bacterial. And that's what's hurting people. No, it's the complications of the viral infection, which mm-hmm. is a respiratory infection, mm-hmm. that irritates those bronchial linings
right.
and alveoli linings, and makes it susceptible to contracting a bacterial infection. Mm-hmm. It's when the bacterial infection becomes a problem that we run into serious complications.
Right.
Part of which is because when you treat the bacterial infection, from my understanding and doing some research on this, the actual treatment itself causes the bacteria to give off toxins when it dies. Mm-hmm. And that can be very difficult and hard on the liver of these kids and possibly these pregnant females. And it can also be very hard on elderly that don't have a lot of good function already. And sometimes it even tackles a healthy person. Mm-hmm. But the goal here is, you know, Jody, you went and got your x-rays. Mm-hmm. It was negative for any kind of fluid in the lungs,
I
per
had some.
Se. You had some.
I was turned. I was actually diagnosed pneumonia.
With pneumonia.
Bronchitis. Not necessarily, okay, this is a bad case of pneumonia, it's obvious, we need to treat, da-da-da-da.
Right.
It was like very mild case.
But this thing was going on 12, 13 days.
But I let it...
2 weeks you were sick.
Yeah, I think I was actually better when I finally went in.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't I couldn't shake it. That's why I finally went and got antibiotics.
So he goes in, and 2 days after being on antibiotics, you were noticeably better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Now, chances are... And it could happen. He could have gotten well. His body could have probably overcome a bacterial infection. But it didn't happen for the creator of the Muppets, Jim Henson.
Mm-hmm.
He died from bacterial pneumonia.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So we have the technology. It's just that my fear is that this has become a pandemic, over-excited government... confused
mm-hmm.
issue.
Yeah.
It really has.
Yeah.
And now there's concerns that there's an adjuvant and a non-adjuvant vaccine.
Yeah. They're claiming that the vaccine that they're giving now is
non-adjuvant free, right?
That's what their claim is. They're claiming the only place adjuvant was used is Sweden or something like that.
No, we do. We're going to be getting about 18 million doses of adjuvant.
The current one is adjuvant free, though, is what they claim.
The first realm is adjuvant free.
Yeah.
So keep our eye on it. Know what you're doing. And we'll just have to see how this whole thing pans out. And if crazy things happen, we'll talk about it in the future.
Yeah.
But for now, I hope you have a great week. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at irescueradio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.